నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయ ముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటు 10 ద సమం బోనం చాప్టర్ 12 ద కిల్లింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్ అగాసుర్ వర్స్ నంబర్ 14. So verse numbers 14, 15, 16 and 17 do not have purport, so I will read them myself and we will recite verse number 18 together. Drishtarbhakan krishna mukhan ghasurah kansanushishta sabaki bakanujah ayam tume so darnash krutayo dvayor మమైనం సబలం హనిషే. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. అగాసుర్, హూ హ్యాడ్ బీన్ సెండ్ బై కంస, వాజ్ ద యంగర్ బ్రదర్ ఆఫ్ పూతన అండ్ బకాసుర్. దేర్ ఫోర్ వెన్ హీ కేమ్ అండ్ సా కృష్ణ అట్ ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద కౌహర్డ్ బాయ్స్ హీ థాట్, దిస్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ కిల్డ్ మై సిస్టర్ అండ్ బ్రదర్ పూతన అండ్ బకాసుర్. దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ప్లీజ్ దెమ్ బోత్ ఐ షాల్ కిల్ దిస్ కృష్ణ along with his assistants, the other coward boys. Ete yada mutsu rudo stilapaha krutastada nashta samavrajau kasaha prane gate varshmasu kanu chinta prajasavah pranabhruto hiyete. Agasura thought, if somehow or other I can make Krishna and his associates serve as the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, then the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die. If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when their sons are dead, naturally all the inhabitants of Braja will die. Iti vyavyas iti vyavasya jagaram bruhadvapu sa yojanaya mamaha dripi varam drutvadbhutam vyatta guhananam tada pathi vyasheta grasanashaya khalah. After thus deciding, that crooked Aghasur assumed the form of a huge python, as thick as a big mountain and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this wonderful python's body, he spread his mouth like a big cave in the mountains and lay down on the road, expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the cowherd boys. Text 17. Dharadharoshtho jaladottaroshtho దర్యానంతో గిరిశృంగద్రంష్ట్ర ధ్వాంతాంతరాస్యో వితతాధ్వజీవ పురుషా నిలశ్వాసదవేక్షణోష్ణః. his lower lip rested on the surface of the earth, and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave in a mountain, and the middle of his mouth was as dark as possible. His tongue resembled a broad traffic way. His breath was like a warm wind, and his eyes blazed like fire. Text 18. Please repeat after me. Drushtvattam tadrusham sarve matva vrindavana shriyam vyatta jagaratundena yutprekshante smalilaya drushtvattam tadrusham sarve matva vrindavana shriyam vyatta jagaratundena yutprekshante smalilaya drushtvattam tadrusham sarve matva vrindavana shriyam vyatta jagaratundena yutprekshante smalilaya. Please repeat, anybody? Yatta jagaratundena. Vishvatam tadrusham sarve matva vrindavana shriyam vata jagaratundena vyatta jagaratundena to word, please repeat. Drushtva, seeing, tam, that Agasur, tadrusham, in that posture, Sarve, Krishna and all the cowherd boys, Matva, thought it, Vrindavanashriyam, a beautiful statue of Vrindavan, Vyatta, spread, Ajagaratundena, with the form of a python's mouth, he indeed utprekshante, as if observing, sma in the past, lilaya as a matter of pastimes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Thereafter, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Some of the boys, upon seeing this wonderful phenomenon, thought that it was in fact a python, and they were fleeing from the spot. But others said, "Why are you fleeing? It is not possible that a python like this is staying here. This is a spot of beauty for sporting." This is what they imagine. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Nama. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are reading from Canto 10, which is the Samam Bonam, the highest, the absolute, the supreme most knowledge. Chapter 12, the killing of demon Akhasur. So, before I start, I would like to beg for the mercy and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially my superiors, Savas Prabhu, Archida Prabhu, and Maharaj, and all the other Prabhupada disciples, Prabhupati Prabhu, and all, so please give me some blessings so I will be able to speak something for my own purification and for the pleasure of all the listeners. So, when Krishna was being raised in Vrindavan, when he was just a little baby, a week older, that time, the first demon that was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna, just a infant Krishna, that was Putana, also called as Khechari. So Putana was the first one who came, and she assumed the form of a beautiful lady. She looked like a goddess of fortune. So it is said in two chapters or in the same canto that Kansena Prahita Ghora Putana Balaghatini Shishum Chachara Nighnanti Puragrama Vrajadishu. She came, assuming the form of a beautiful lady, whirling a lotus in her hand, and she was asking, where is Krishna born? And everybody was thinking in Vrajabhumi that because Krishna is born in Vraja, you know, goddess of fortune has come to see him. So everybody was directing Bhutana that go, you know, go to this side, take right, take left, and go to the house of Nanda Maharaj. There you will find Krishna. So as you know, all of us know that whenever a beautiful baby is born, all the mothers, especially all the women, they like to, you know, give all the love to the baby. The same way, Mother Yashoda thought quite innocently that she is, you know, she is so beautiful, she is more fit to be the mother of my Lala. And she innocently gave Krishna to Putana. But Putana had come with intention to kill Krishna. And she had come with poison smeared to her breast. And Krishna, understanding her intention, he, you know, with along with the milk, he sucked the life air out of Putana and he killed Putana. Shri Krishna Bhagwan ki jai. So next, you know, then so many demons are coming in Vrindavan, sent by Kamsa. And you know, after killing so many demons, when Krishna was around 5 years, and when he was, you know, herding the cows along with his cowherd friends, they saw a big gigantic duck, you know, a huge duck, and immediately that duck swallowed Krishna. You know, he had a very sharp beak, and everybody thought that Krishna has been swallowed. What will happen? So Balram and all the cowherd boys, they almost fainted because of intense affection and thinking that Krishna is in danger. They were almost, you know, they almost fainted. But Krishna, he you know, created himself very hot. So Bakasur felt burning sensation in his beak or in his throat, and he disgorged Krishna. And then he attacked Krishna again with his beak, but Krishna bifurcated his body, just like a small child may, you know, just break the grass, blade of a grass. The same way Krishna killed Bakasura. And, you know, demigods are showering flowers on Krishna. So, after this incident, when Krishna was around 5 years, this was the day when it was Balram's birthday. So that's why Balramji was asked to stay in the house. Rohini Mata wanted to, you know, make special care. Like she wanted to decorate him, you know, give him extra love. That's like birthday, special day. So Krishna went alone this day to herd the cows along with his cowherd friends. They started early that day. All the friends gathered and they went. And this is the day when the younger brother of Putana and Bakasur, whose name was Aghasur, he came with the intention to kill Krishna. So he came with the intention that I want to take revenge. You know, we see that this revenge mentality is quite prominent. We see in the pages of Bhagavatam, in the pages of Mahabharata, that you know, something happens to somebody, even a small insult is not taken, you know, in the right consciousness, and all we want to do is take revenge, you know. So this younger brother Aghasur, he came with the intention, thinking that when I will kill Krishna, then the souls of my departed, my brother Bakasur and my sister Putana, they will feel satisfaction. So that will serve, the Krishna's death will serve as the last offering of sesame and water, you know, to their departed souls. So this is the intention he came. What was the past life of Aghasur? In the past life, if you know the pastime of Sudama, the friend of Krishna, Shridama or Sudama, you know, sometimes he's called Sudama and sometimes he's referred as Shridama. So when he was cursed by Radharani, you know, one time he was protecting and he did not allow Radharani to enter a particular area of Vrindavan. because Krishna was having pastime with another gopi. So he was protecting that nobody should go, otherwise there will be problems between this couple. So he was trying to protect the couple having, you know, relationship issues. So he stopped Radharani, because of which Radharani cursed. So it's a pastime that because of which Sridhama had to take birth as Shankachuda. So the son of Shankachuda was Agha, and that was the past life of this Agasur. You know, so this story comes in Purana, Padma Purana. So this Agasur, he was very beautiful and he was very strong. And when one day he was walking around in Malaya mountain, he came across Ashtavakra sage. He was a great sage which is very famous, and he is called Ashtavakra because his body is bent in 8 places. He's very old and his body is, you know, hunchback and bent in 8 places. So naturally this Agha, who was very strong and who was very beautiful, he was very proud of his beauty. So he laughed at this sage Ashtavakra, saying that, you know, you're so ugly. And, you know, this sage took it as an offense, and also he was so elevated that he wanted to correct the person, at the same time give mercy in the form of a curse. So he cursed Agha that you are so proud of your beauty, you will become a snake in the next life, and you are laughing at my 8 bends in my body. You will have countless bends in your body, because snakes, as you know, they are, you know, they have to bend even to move 1 inch ahead. So when Agha got that curse, he started to plead, he started to beg forgiveness. So feeling compassion, Ashtavakra sage, he said, don't worry, one day the master of all mystics, even the master of Cupid, the most beautiful, Krishna will enter your body and you will be delivered. So with that benediction, in the next life, Agasur came in Vrajabhumi with the intention to kill Krishna and to take revenge of his own, you know, sister Putana and brother Bakasur, who was killed. So he came with the intention to take revenge. So we see this, you know, tendency very prominent. We take offenses very easily, and sometimes we think, I am right, and how can he talk to me like that? How could he look at me in this way? Does he not know who I am? So basically we are so much engrossed thinking that I am so great, you know, I am a special person, I have been sent by Krishna, you know, for a special purpose in this world. But others are not able to realize. How come they are not able to realize I am great? So that's something we, you know, secretly think, that I am special. Because of such demoniac tendency, you know, this material world becomes the place of complete misery. Like Krishna says, this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This place is filled with misery, and it is also ashashvatam. It is temporary. On top of that, we are living in Kali Yuga, which is kalaha. Like it is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So quarrels are quite natural in this world. So, you know, people fighting. So all the time, even if we are devotees, you know, we have to face so many tribulations. Sometimes somebody does not treat us the way we want to be treated. So it happens all the time, but a devotee will always think that this is Krishna's, and, you know, Krishna and my spiritual master, they are trying to humble me with these all, you know, different circumstances that are being, you know, put upon me. So there are different provoking situations, and Prabhupada said that greatness of one's character is to be estimated by how one deals with provoking situations. how you are when you are put into a provoking situation. Because, you know, I can talk about myself that we are, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, following the principle. But as soon as, you know, something happens, like some provoking situation comes up, we may show, you know, our anarthas. Like sometimes a parrot is taught to say Hare Krishna. The parrot repeats, Hare Krishna, you know. If you say, please say Hare Krishna, you know. There are many parrots, even my cousin has a parrot. If you say, he says Jai Shri Ram. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram. He always says Jai Shri Ram, all the time, you know. And if you cut the, if you just hold the neck of the parrot, then he won't say Jai Shri Ram. He will say, ah, ah, oh, ah. So, you know, basically, when that parrot is put into a provoking situation, or, you know, some attack or some calamity comes up, then we don't remember Krishna. Then we don't remember the teachings and instructions of, you know, our spiritual master Prabhupada. Or then somehow our anarthas overpower us. So we have to take care that in all the situations, all the walks of life, we have to remember, try to absorb and try to remain humble and remember the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So there are, you know, different ways a person reacts to provoking situation. Like somebody may take personal offense. Somebody may think that, you know, janasya moho ayam aham mameti. So we always think that my wife, my children, this is my sphere of influence. So that is because of this tendency of me and mine. Because of this tendency, the problems begin. You know, because of this, like Agasura thought that it is my sister who was killed by Krishna. My brother, how can Krishna kill my brother and my sister? But how can he not think that Krishna was not the one who attacked them? Actually, Putana came with evil intention and Bakasura came. So it was not Krishna's fault. He was just a small baby, you know. So, because of not having proper intelligence, proper knowledge, people, you know, like Agasura in this world, we see that they just want to take revenge. They want to just think whatever happens, like even a small thing, they want to make a big issue. They want to, you know, take revenge somehow. So that is the mentality of Agasura. He came with the intention to take revenge. There is also one beautiful story in Sthala Puran. One time Lord Brahma became very proud, you know, and this pride was sensed by Lord Shiva. You know, sometimes demigods also get pride, like there are so many pastimes. So Lord Brahma got that pride and Lord Shiva sensed it. So Lord Shiva, started to tell everybody, he started a competition. That he said, nobody can touch my head. Let's see who is more powerful than me, who can touch my head. So Lord Brahma went at this spot. So many people tried to touch his head, but he used to expand his size. And Lord Brahma started to, accept the challenge. And he also started to increase the size. And Lord Shiva is also increasing the size. So both are increasing. So it became the display of one's ego. So it happens in the world, right? That who is more powerful? You are more powerful or I am more powerful? Who has more influence? So Lord Brahma thought, what is happening? Lord Shiva is getting bigger and bigger and now my capacity is ending. Now all my followers, all the demigods are watching this. Now what will happen? So he started to feel, oh my God, I'm in trouble now. And all of a sudden, Lord Shiva sensed something, that somebody was touching his feet. And that was Varahadev. Varahadev, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. So he, you know, naturally, when Vaishnavas, like Lord Shiva is greatest of Vaishnava. Whenever Vaishnava's feet are touched, natural tendency is to look, hey, who is that? So he looked down, and that time, Lord Vishnu, you know, increased his size and touched his head. So this is the way to solve all the problems in the world. not by, you know, increasing one's size and showing your power, you know, who's more powerful, I am powerful or you are powerful. The real way to win over anybody's heart is to become humble, taking a humble position, like Lord Vishnu taught, you know, he taught all of us. So this is one of the stories. The other way of dealing with provoking situation is like giving forgiveness. That is considered a higher way of dealing with provoking situations, like forgiving the offender. Like when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by just like 5 or 6 year old Sringi. You know, Parikshit Maharaj had that capacity. He could have killed Sringi, or he could have reverted the curse. He could have said that, I won't die, you will only die after 7 days. But Parikshit Maharaj thought that it has to be a plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let me surrender to his plan. So he decided to surrender. So that is another way, which is a higher way to forgive the offender. Like Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni, when he felt offended, Durvasa Muni created a fiery demon. And the demon was supposed to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj did not take it as offense. But Lord Vishnu protected Ambarish Maharaj. So the same way, there is also a pastime of Jiva Goswami. One time, when Jiva Goswami was serving his spiritual master, Rupa Goswami, he was fanning Rupa Goswami. That time, Vallabhacharya came there and he said that there is this mistake in your writing. You are writing, like Rupa Goswami used to write so many beautiful literatures and beautiful books about devotional service. So he said, there is this mistake in your writing. But Rupa Goswami took a humble position. He said, you are a great acharya. You are Vallabhacharya. You are like a spiritual master. And I am just a fool. So I accept whatever mistake you are saying. But Jiva Goswami felt that how can he find a mistake in, you know, Rupa Goswami's writing. Rupa Goswami is Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa. So he is the one who has understood the inner desires of the, you know, core of the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can somebody find fault in Rupa Goswami's writings? So Jiva Goswami went, when Vallabhacharya was taking bath, he explained that how it was not a mistake, how what Rupa Goswami wrote was rather higher status of devotional service, and how it was more perfect. So Vallabhacharya felt, wow, who is this boy? Like, what an amazing explanation. And he is just a disciple of the person I just found fault in. You know, but Rupa Goswami, when he came to know that Jiva Goswami had done this, he chastised him. He said, you do not have any right to live in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is not a place where you try to prove your superiority, where you try to show to the others that, you know, I am right, you are wrong. Vrindavan is the place where everyone takes the humble position, you know, like Trunadapi Sunichena Taro Riva Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Rupa Goswami asked Jiva Goswami to leave Vrindavan. He kicked him out of Vrindavan. So you can imagine, such is, you know, serious, you know, how seriously he took it. So the one more higher principle, the third way of how to deal with provoking situation, the highest is, you just not forgive the person, but you also pray for that soul. So what happened with Prahlad Maharaj? Hiranyakashipu, his own father, tried to kill Prahlad in so many ways. Every day a different way. He tried to kill his own son. Only 5 year old, small boy, you can imagine. So, but still, when at the end, Narsingha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj asked that, please, you know, please forgive my father, please deliver my father. So that is higher, that is the highest level of dealing with provoking situations or dealing with somebody who is not properly treating you, how to treat that person back. Also, Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, every beating, he used to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please, my Lord, please, do not consider this as an offense, please. They do not know what they are doing. Please forgive them. The same happened with Jesus Christ, right? He also prayed for the people who was crucifying him. Nityananda Prabhu also prayed to Gauranga Mahaprabhu for the deliverance of Jagai Madhai. Madhai had hit the drinking pot on the head of Nityananda Prabhu. The blood was coming. Gauranga Mahaprabhu had Sudarshan Chakra. If somebody like me would have been there, I would have said, kill him, kill all his descendants and whatever. So this is like, we have to understand the highest level of humility and compassion for all of the fallen conditioned souls. And this is what Prabhupada is trying to teach all of us. Prabhupada has been, when towards the last final days of Srila Prabhupada, he said that cooperate among yourselves. Your love for me will be shown by the way you cooperate. We are coming from different backgrounds, different ethnicity, different countries. We are trying to work together. Like somebody's white, black body, Indian, American, Russian, Chinese. So we are all trying to work together. Like in the episode of Samudra Manthan, the churning of the ocean, Lord Vishnu asked demons and devatas, demigods and demons, who are born enemies. But Lord Vishnu said, cooperate and do this activity together, churning of the milk ocean. So they did it together for Lord Vishnu. If demons and demigods can cooperate, why can't we cooperate? So, provoking situations will always come in life because this is material world. And this is on top of that Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is Kale Dosha Nidhe Rajan. So it is full of faults. Every step there is danger to one's life. At the same time there is danger to one's ego, or there is also a danger of committing offenses, especially when we are living in the community of devotees. There is danger of committing offenses, and ruining our life, our spiritual life. So there is a beautiful discussion between Krishna and Karna. Because Karna, like when the Mahabharata war, the Kurukshetra war was declared, and Karna did not know that he is son of Kunti. But so that time Krishna went to Karna telling him that you are the eldest son of Kunti, you are the brother of Pandavas, so you should fight with us, you should be on the side of Dharma. Why are you fighting with Kauravas and Duryodhan? His argument was that Duryodhan is my best friend. How can I be dishonest friend? I should be an honest friend, a loyal, chaste friend to my beloved Duryodhana, who has always backed me up. The whole world always said that I am a Suta Putra, I am the son of a charioteer. Nobody was giving me even a chance to learn archery. So how can I, only Duryodhan is the one. So this whole world has not treated me properly. So he had, problem with the entire world. But Krishna gave a nice answer. Krishna said that there was a great king called Kartavir Arjun. who stole a cow called Kamadhenu, who can produce, you know, unlimited number of, you know, unlimited amount of milk, and she can fulfill any desire. So that Kamadhenu was stolen by Kartavirya Arjun from Jamadagni, sage, Jamadagni Rishi. So that time, the son of Jamadagni, Parshuram, he, you know, followed the king and he challenged him to fight. And there was a big fight between Kartavirya Arjun and Parshuram. And in the fight, Parshuram killed Kartavirya Arjun in front of his 10,000 sons. They could not protect him. And he brought back the cow, you know, because Brahmanas, all they have, the only wealth is cow. So how can he steal? So what Parshuram did was perfectly correct. But these sons, they took it as an offense. They swore revenge. So what they did is, when Parshuram was in forest, away from the ashram of his father Jamadagni, they came, all of them. And when Jamadagni Muni, Jamadagni Rishi, when he was meditating on, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, they killed, you know, Jamadagni, which was complete, they beheaded the Jamadagni, which was heinous crime. And when Parshuram came to the ashram, he saw the dead body of his father. And that time, Parshuram did not take it as a personal offense. So Krishna is telling to Karna that you are thinking that this whole world has mistreated you, but this is what happened with Parshuram, your own guru. Parshuram is guru of Karna. So he was telling, your own guru had to go through this. His father was killed so brutally, but he did not take it as a personal. He saw this as an opportunity to serve the entire humanity. He saw the suffering of the, you know, common people. That if I am suffering like this, you know, because of these demoniac kings, Kshatriya kings, you know, this entire earth is suffering. So he swore revenge and he killed. First of all, he killed 10,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjun. And he did not stop there. So he used his anger in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He then killed all the impious, immoral, demoniac Kshatriya kings. He killed all over the earth 21 times. He killed all the demoniac leaders. And he relieved the earth from the burden of demoniac people. So Krishna is telling this to Karna, you know, try to learn something from your own guru. He did not take, you know, whatever mistreatment he received, he did not take it personal. He did not keep on crying. But Karna did not listen, even after Krishna, you know, guided him and told so many things. But when Arjuna received guidance from Krishna, Arjuna surrendered. And because of which, Arjuna became victorious. And Karna met his death in the Kurukshetra war. The same way we see in today's verse, Agasur, he is approaching Krishna with the intention to take revenge and kill. And in subsequent verses, he will be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna entered the mouth of Agasur, and when he was inside, he increased his size, he enlarged himself. And that created suffocation for Agasur. So Agasur also started to increase his size. Krishna also increased. And due to suffocation, Agasur died. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Bhrigupati Prabhu ki jai. Please, is there a mic?
Prabhu, thank you. Great class. In the beginning of class, you told the background story to Agasura, you know, how he was actually some other personality and he was cursed by Astavaka Muni like that. So when I hear that, it makes it thinking and putting myself in the place of like an ordinary person who's just coming in contact, reading these books, it makes it more believable. Like when you read the Krishna book, you know, and you read about Agassur, just all of a sudden there's this big snake demon that's there, you know, and quite a few of the other demons are introduced in that way. There's not a lot of background information. There's not like an explanation of how these were personalities who were such and such in a past life, where they were, you know, demons who had mystic powers. It's just kind of, boom, all of a sudden you're confronted with this pretty far out thing, you know, like a big snake or a big whatever. And so I'm just wondering what the reason for that is, because at least I don't think I'm unique in this, that, as I said, my mind, as soon as I hear the background story, it's just, I kind of go, oh, okay, that makes it more believable. And that's a point, I think, that's a difficult thing for a lot of people coming in contact with this philosophy. You know, it's, I mean, the philosophy is wonderful, but there's so many different categories of far out things that you come in contact with as you're reading through the pages of any one of Prabhupada's books, Krishna book or Bhagavatam or anything like that. And to reduce, I'm just wondering why more explanation, background information, explanation isn't given to reduce the unfamiliarity of the different kind of things that people are, you know, coming all of a sudden being confronted with. Is that because the acharyas feel that you know, either the person's fortunate or they're not fortunate? Fortunate people are going to accept it with this level of information, and that, so it's good enough. And the unfortunate people, no matter how much explanation you give them, they're not going to accept it. So is that the correct understanding of why it's presented as it is, and we should just be satisfied with that, that the acharyas have chosen to deal with it and present it in this way, and they know what they're doing, and we should just be satisfied with it? Or what's the correct understanding? First of all, do you understand the question?
Yeah, it's a big question. But as much as I understand, why this big explanation is given about the past life, and what is the reason behind this explanation, right? Basically, that's what you're asking, right?
Why isn't it there more? In other words, because it seems
there
to help.
No,
yeah,
more?
Yeah, it seems to help when you hear these, like an extra,
okay,
the background
so
story, and, you know, it kind of, for me at least, it makes it more believable. I just feel
okay.
Like, oh, okay.
Now I got the question. So why there is not more explanation about all the demons? That makes more, you know, believable, right?
Yeah, or any of the
it gives a
stuff
good
that
connection.
You come in contact
so
with.
The idea is this.
Something with the fifth canto, all of a sudden, just boom, you're confronted with all this inconceivable stuff, and there's not a lot of explanation.
Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, tenth canto especially is for those people who have already come up to that level where they trust whatever is being spoken. So, you know, like the first important thing is Shraddha, right? Adho Shraddha. That's where the devotional life starts. And so I think faith is something that is very important. And this connection is given in different Puranas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like condensed, you know, of all the different Puranas. And because Shukadeva Goswami had 7 days to speak, so he couldn't, like, you know, there was a limited amount of time, and so he gave the explanation for a person that is enough, you know, if he goes one canto, then second, third. So if he goes in the sequence, by the time he reaches 10th canto, these things are believable. Because first thing we believe is Krishna is Adbhuta. You know, Adbhut Karmana. So Krishna, all the activities of Krishna are transcendental. And we see the things with Jnana Chakshu, by the, you know, knowledge, the eyes of knowledge. Archit Prabhu has something.
The other point is that if you don't accept what you read in the 10th canto, you're not going to accept what you see in the other Puranas either. You're not going to believe that a sage is so powerful that he can curse somebody to,
yeah.
You know, you don't believe that. You think these are all stories.
Yeah.
That's how they approach it. And even today, from the Western scholarly point of view, they love reading these Puranas, and they're so far out and this and that, but they think they're just stories. And they make up, I saw one documentary not so long ago, this David Attenborough. You know, he went to all these places, he visited all these parts of India and stuff, but his conclusion is that, you know, there were a bunch of sages, they were sitting around and they were drinking this soma juice, which is kind of an intoxicant, and it caused them to, you know, write all these kind of far-out stories, but, you know, you can't take it seriously, you know, it's just entertaining.
Yeah.
So they're going to have the same attitude, no matter where they read it, whether they read it in the 10th canto or in this Purana or that Purana. Their attitude is that it's all mythological. And that's why Prabhupada kept hammering. It's not mythology. It's not mythology. It's just fact. And therefore, you have to be fortunate and a little bit pious and a little bit advanced spiritually to accept it. Otherwise, it doesn't matter where the information comes from. You're not going to accept it.
Thank you, Prabhu. Your presentation raises so many questions and comments, but in a different topic about what is the proper behavior of attitude of a devotee, even in a community or even outside the world, how to deal with provocations. And so it seems like we more or less need very often seminars in Vaishnava etiquette, because the behavior or the explanation given in the books about how someone is very detached and very, like, takes it as, like, very humble, that in such a way that he can tolerate, he can disregard any reverses, but it's not applicable to the one who is in the Madhyama Dikari, which is most of us, and some of us were in the lower standard of devotional practices. Sometimes a new devotee coming takes offense immediately by the behavior or attitude of maybe a senior devotee, but because they're not familiar with Dharma, how to behave. So yeah. I don't know if you would like to comment in that.
Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked that who is a devotee, who is a devotee of Krishna, or who is your follower, so he said that devotees of Hare Krishna movement, they are perfect gentlemen. So the basic idea is we should come up to the standard of being a perfect gentleman, at least following the basic etiquettes of giving respects, you know. And I'll just say one verse, you know, which is the best verse to avoid all sort of conflicts in this world. Narad Muni told to Dhruva Maharaj, Gunadhikam Udam Lipset, Anukrosham Gunadhamat Maitri Samantat Anuiche Na Taper Abhibhuyate. So he is telling that in this world there is these problems, that problem, that is tap, you know, Na Taper. If somebody wants to avoid all, yeah, I will translate. If somebody wants to avoid all the conflicts, Na Taper Abhibhuyate. He is giving the formula of avoiding all the conflicts. What is that formula? Gunadhikam Udam Lipset. Whoever is more qualified than you, you respect that person. You know? So whoever is senior, whoever has joined the movement before you, or whoever is senior in age, or, you know, in all regards, whoever is senior in terms of knowledge, Gunadhikam Udam Lipset Anukrosham Gunadhamat. You know, whoever is more qualified, you give respects. Whoever is less qualified, you approach with love and compassion. Anukrosham Gunadhamat. And with equals, Maitri Samantat Anuiche. With equals, you become friends. And this is the formula to avoid all the conflicts in the world. That is given by Narad Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And in the purport of this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if some devotee, in the devotee community, if somebody follows these three principles, respecting seniors, friendship with equals, and compassion for juniors, this is Krishna Prem. This is practical application of love of Krishna in this world. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.